It's never easy to come out in any career, but especially when you're an athlete. Even though many straight-identifying male athletes are coming out against anti-gay bigotry, there's still a lot of gay guys who stay out of the game of fighting for equality.
Today, comedian Eric Oren, another straight-identifying guy who loves to play sports, joins us to talk about why his gay teammates are comfortable telling him they are gay, but not publicly.
Eric may be in the no-homo zone, but that didn't stop him from dressing up as an 80s rocker and writing us a beautiful love poem.
Join us for this and all the hot, sweaty news. Newark Mayor Cory Booker gives out Hot Pockets to Hurricane Sandy survivors.
Oink, oink! A hermaphroditic pig in the Philippines is thought to bring good luck.
And we're calling it. Lady Gaga and Taylor Kinney are going to tie the knot after announcing they are having a baby. That's why she's gotten big all of a sudden and threw up on stage.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Sports, baby! Gay sports is one of the fastest growing interest topics on the internet. And for good reason, because those guys are fucking hot. But surprisingly and disappointingly so, a lot of gay male athletes are reluctant to come out of the closet. And it's not necessarily because there's a homophobic environment as much as it is their own fear. Is it the sports teams? Is it the fans? We don't really know, but we're going to get down to it. Comedian Eric Oren, who's awesome and hot and a rugby player and straight identifying, here is joining us today on Feast of Fun to take a look at why it's so hard for gay male athletes to come out. Because if he was on my sports team, I'd come out to him. You know what I'm saying?
Hello.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, hey, guys. How we doing?
Eric, what's up with this costume you're wearing?
You look ridiculous.
You're wearing a Cher wig.
I decided to show up for you guys in character.
In drag.
I'm currently in character as Eddie Ironwine.
Who's a little bit gay?
This is a new character choice I'm finding out about, but yes. I've been playing this character for a little while, and I figured I would... he's a lyricist, so I figured I would prepare a poem for you guys, which we can get to in a minute here.
Okay, Eric, set the show up first. Eddie? Should I call you Eric or Eddie?
I'm Eddie Ironwine.
Okay, Eddie Ironwine. I'm going to do a little improv with
Let's
you.
Let's do it.
Okay, I am a studly football player in a locker room.
Yeah.
You're his,
come on!
Backup? What is it? And we just won the game, and we're alone together. Kay. And and you're totally hot for me, and you want to make out with me.
Okay.
Go.
All right, so here's what I would do. I'd walk into the locker room, I'd pull out my songbook, okay, because I'm a lyricist.
And that's a euphemism for your penis.
Yes. Actually, I just write my songs on my penis in very tiny scrawl.
Very small songs.
Yeah, they're short. They're more like musical vignettes.
Hey, Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yeah, it's like a chant. And then I would cross the room, I would look into your puddles of moon water, and then I would recite for you one of my very well-constructed love poems.
Really? You wrote a love poem for us.
The poem that I wrote for you guys today, I do write love poems and I will write you guys one, but I wrote like a creation myth about Feast of Fun.
There was a man named Enos.
Yes.
Who had a really big penis.
Yeah. So this is like...
you actually wrote a poem.
I wrote you guys
like
a verse
Garden
poem.
Of Eden.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 stanzas, fellas.
Wow. Holy shit.
Because I'm a lyricist. Okay. But I don't
you
play an
such
instrument.
A badass.
I don't play an instrument.
Okay. So let's start off with a beautiful love poem you wrote to us.
Okay, well, do you want
I'm going to interpret it as a love poem.
Yeah, that's fine.
You're so beautiful. People,
hey,
go to thefeastoffun.com or just open up your iPod and look at a picture of Eric Oren and tell me if he's not totally fuckable.
Hey-o.
No homo. No
hey,
homo.
That's okay.
But totally fuckable.
I'm fine with that. I'm okay with being fuckable. That's a good thing.
Okay.
So this is a creation myth, and it is very celebratory of you fellas, so it could definitely be a love poem, but I'm going to read it to you now.
And can you just add the words in bed at the end?
I will add the words in bed, but I'm going to add them with my emotion as I read the poem.
Okay, okay, I'm ready.
I'm
totally open and spread open
good.
For you.
I'm presenting.
Presenting.
I'm wanting and haughty with anticipation.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right. Sorry, this sometimes it gets emotional, so I'm trying to rein it in. Okay. Ages ago, in the ancient sands of time, two handsome men longed for a light that was lime. Started as a live show called Feast of Fools, but the talent had already formed too big a pool. Onward and upward to the podcasting world, their fabulous wings uncloseted, unfurled. ruling their kingdom, the darlings of Bryn Mawr. The light of the feast shone bright like a star. So don't walk, run to the Feast of Fun, GLBT talk show podcast number one, Fausto himself and Mark Felion. I'll end this first with a creamy load of pun. Guests from the guests from the scene of Chicago comedy, the bigwigs of drug, the bigwigs of drag or web celebrities. Sometimes they bear down with Brian Sweeney. I happen to know him. He sits when he pees. From interviews,
he has a big weenie.
He does have. That's a better rhyme.
He's from Irish, of course he does.
From interviews to talking points, the Foff boys decreed. They captivate and conversate and know how to lead. Superiority in the studio is well-founded in truth. They are silver-tongued, well-muscled fountains of youth. Ironwine, you're an Adonis, the boy chicks do tweet. Well, I must admit, I'm a lesser cock at the Foff boys' big feet. With the weight of their audiences resting squarely on their shoulders, the fire of interest never grew colder. So when the log has been gobbled and the race has been run, don't forget about GLBT number one. Their hearts and their biceps so dense like a sun. So they look to the sky, Fausto and Mark Felion, to hear lightning crack and see the gods write, Feast of Fun.
Yay!
Wow! That is the most emotional, beautiful thing.
I'm crying here.
Yeah. I am so deeply moved and touched.
Yeah. I was.
We don't even need to do this podcast anymore.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I think everybody should just go right now and vote for us at the Podcast Awards.
I mean, I think
podcastawards.com.
I even worked in the name of your guys' first live show. Right?
You
was that
did.
What it's called? Feast of Fools.
You even revealed our home address in the poem.
Well, I didn't give the number. I thought I was in there originally, right. And then syllabically.
Oh, we've had people show up here all the time.
Syllabically, I was like, I better take that number out.
You know what drives me crazy, though, is when people knock on the back door while I'm sleeping.
Does that happen?
It's happened a couple of times, and I'm like, I'm like, I'm not podcasting
right now.
They're
like, we heard Eddie's poem. We're here. We're here to unfurl our wings.
Eric.
Sometimes people walk by and they point up, and that's where they do that show.
That happened to me. I was coming home, and this two gay men were standing out in front of our house, and they pointed up, and they said, that's where they do that show. And I'm like, hi, guys. And they're like, scowled at me and walked off.
That's so catty.
We probably talked bad about their boyfriend or something.
People looking at me as I got out of my car and walked up to your building in this outfit.
They think you're a sex worker. You look like a hustler, a hooker.
I was getting looks. There was
you look like you should be fucking Cher, really, is what you look like.
Yeah, you look like Cher's ex-boyfriend from the 90s or 80s.
I am. That guy was a character that I played back then. So
we're here to talk about why is it so hard for the guys to come out as gay in sports.
Right.
Now, you played rugby in college.
I did.
And did any guys come out to you on your team?
No, there was an individual on our team who was gay, but we all knew about it going into the scenario. He was very open. And like I said to you guys before,
it wasn't that big of a deal.
It was
that
never,
he was gay.
Even in high school, like I was in football.
So here's the question.
And,
do you think that other guys on your team stayed in the closet, even though there was somebody in the team who was out?
You know, that's a really good question. I would say because I spent so much time with these people, if there had been people in the closet, I probably would have known. Like, and it was so a part of the humorous lexicon of that group of people, it wouldn't have been a problem. It never, that was all we did. It was sports taps and jokes and group makeout session. Like, that's what it was.
Group
like,
makeout sessions? What do you mean there's group like, makeout sessions?
I've been missing all along.
Yeah, and then we, yes. We,
answer my question.
It was like, it was a joke. Like, you know, hey guys, you want to make out about it? And we wouldn't, but these
oh,
are
so
things
you wouldn't
like,
make out.
It's, of course, a joke, but there was
well,
never...
Well, sometimes they do make out. Like, if you watch a lot of footage from a European... No, they actually kiss each other on the lips.
Right.
Because I was like, I spent a summer in East Berlin, and like, guys up there... They actually kiss each other on the lips.
Yeah.
As no homo, you know.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit of homo maybe, but it's
a little
like
bit.
But it's like they're just all of them just like that's how
and
you say goodbye.
Middle Eastern men hold hands all the time.
So what is it going on? Why do you think it's what's holding back? I mean, we obviously know that churches is because of their religious beliefs and that, but what's holding back? Because lesbians are all usually out. Gatorade did an advertising campaign aimed to lesbians, and they were like, I got my eye on you.
Oh, and it was like she was looking, it was like, is she trying to score a goal on her, or is she trying
or
to score
trying to
with
get
her?
Up in that gap? Right.
Yeah.
That's what it seemed like. Well, that's weird. It's
yeah,
so
it's very predatory.
Because they were referring to her vagina as the gap.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you were like, are
they
you talking about
the gap?
Well, they're like, I'm keeping an eye on for the gap. get my ball in, yeah, you know? And you're like, are you talking about soccer?
Latent sexuality. Yeah.
Totally. And she's like sweating the orange drink and stuff like that. So, you know, and it seems like, you know, my answer to that question really fast is that there's very little money right now, even though it's one of the fastest growing fields, in marketing towards gay interest in sports.
That's so
for
weird.
Lesbians, it's a market, but for gay men, it's not.
Right.
Not yet.
I think it's an invisible market. It's a market. It's just because of the male bravado or for whatever reason, like I said, you know, it's okay to joke about and even like even be out and openly gay up until like late in the college career for an athlete. And then when they think they might be going pro, that's when everyone buttons it down. So like, I think those people, they don't go away. They don't stop playing sports. They exist. It's a market. It's still in that field. But they're like cloaked by all of the male bravado that's left over from whatever silly, sexually suppressed 1900s impulse that sports started on.
Well, let's face it, you know, if there's going to be bullies in the high school, it's usually going to be the star athlete.
Yeah.
So a lot of homophobia that is coming in our high schools, for example, is coming out from the sports team.
Well, and I wonder does that start to grow because, you know, they're constantly around each other and they're naked and they're taking showers. And so they're just like, well, listen, I have to shut this down now. Whereas if you're not in that environment, you don't really care about it. If you're not seeing a guy's dick, you're not really thinking about a guy's dick.
Exactly.
Because one of the most exciting and titillating things for me in high school was the fact that we had all of a sudden have to share lockers and change.
Yeah, and that you kind of are thrown into that scenario as a high school student, like out of nothing, out of thin air.
Yeah.
Right you're when you're going through those changes.
Yeah,
you know?
Where everyone's trying to figure out what makes them, right, and how to be cool for your peers. And then all of a sudden, eighth grade is over, and you're in freshman year of high school, and you're naked with your peers, right?
I had it really rough, because we had a swim class. It was the first class that we had to take. I went to an all-boys prep school my first year, and we actually swam in the nude.
What?
We swam in the nude. My senior year, they finally changed it until because like I guess the teacher was caught like diddling one of the students. So they're like, I think it's you know it's time we had the boys. It was just a tradition since the school opened.
That's
guys when they
tradition.
Were like in all male environments used to just swim in the nude at the YMCA at
this
health clubs
in the
all 1940s, over the place.
That's true.
30s. When
what
did the
mean?
School open?
Oh, like turn of the century.
Okay.
Ever since there was public pools, like that became very popular, like in the Victorian era, the turn of the century.
I mean, yeah, bathhouses and
yeah.
It was you're just, so old. That when you were in high school, you swam naked.
Hell,
you know. I wonder if there might still be some schools out there somewhere that still do it. I don't think so.
So though. Everyone swam naked, but then did the fat kids still wear t-shirts? Because I remember when I had swim class, you know, I was fat as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, you were?
And I once faked having gotten food poisoning from a patch of Jell-O, which is almost impossible, so that I wouldn't have to go to swim class because I forgot my t-shirt for the pool that day.
Some kids did actually wear bikinis, but I think that they wore them because they weren't like sexually developed yet or something. Like, odd. Like,
but
if you
nothing
wore,
on bottom.
Yeah, and on the bottom, like the people. Some people did wear bikinis. You were allowed to if you like.
If
like
you had like, weird.
Like maybe
situations.
You didn't have any pubic hair yet or something.
But
you
it's
know
an
what
interesting
I mean? I
thing
know.
Because strange. You know, like locker room sensibilities are an interesting mix. I always say if you leave men alone. And enough privacy and enough darkness and steam, sex is going to happen.
Yeah, they will get gay.
it's part of the human condition. I'll never forget being up at a health club up north, and somebody was in the shower, and he was this, you know, middle-aged African-American man, and he was just working his cock in the shower. And he was just, like, as happy as can be, and he was just like, sometimes, and he literally said this as I was walking away, like, kind of like, I'm not watching this any longer, and he's like, sometimes you just got to work it out. And I think that that's just
what a perfect encapsulation.
A lot of people, like, that's their mentality. It's just like, it might not be my thing, but today you just gotta work it out.
You know what? I think what you both said about, like, if you leave the lights off and enough dudes and for a long enough time, it'll get sexual because men evolutionarily. We just have to be. That's how our species survives. We have to have that sex drive.
There's actually studies that have been done that men are actually healthier and happier when they're polygamous.
I'm not surprised
they're
by that
like
at all.
That it's like your body's kind of hardwired to
5 to 7 years.
Around.
Yeah, it's you're hardwired to to stick with an evolutionary mate, in quotes.
But I think there's also benefits to monogamy as well. I don't want to, just because your biology, you know, there's benefits to limiting things.
Well, but, biology and culture are totally different, right? So it's important to make sure that both are available.
Recently, we've had a lot of like athletes in the news, Chris Clue, who is like...
Ravens kicker,
who is like totally like... You know, can tell us the story of him.
So Chris Clue was a kicker for the Ravens who wrote a scathing response letter to a Maryland lawmaker by the name of Emmett Burns, who wrote to the Ravens. I believe the Ravens owner.
Yeah.
He wrote a letter about how disappointed he was that the Ravens players were coming out in support of a gay marriage bill. And so Chris, among other players, Chris Clue wrote back this scathing response in like three or four paragraphs. And the funniest part about the letter is that it's very well written and it's well worded and everything. But then he also throws in terms like cock monster and like
lustful cock monster.
Yeah, and it's like it's funny and it's sharp and it's satirical and it's really good. And I think it surprised everyone. And I think it opened people's eyes up to the fact that there are people in these communities who have the education and also the courage to, even though it's not accepted, to say it outright. Like, this is a question I've talked about with friends a lot. Is Chris Clue saying he's gay in writing that letter? Maybe not.
Well, he is married and has kids. And he went on to further denounce that marriage amendment in Minnesota because he's a resident of Minnesota.
Right.
And he actually did a radio commercial. We played it on the show, I think it was last week, about the lustful cock monsters and like and the government don't like intrude in people's lives. And he said, my wife and I have kids. We have two daughters. Yeah. We want these girls to grow up to be who they want to be and marry who they want to marry.
And you know that the crazy thing about that is, and I'm not saying this is the case at all, but for a different player in a different circumstance, what if, I mean, he might not be, but what if he was a player who's been in the NFL for so many years, but you know, he's been playing football since college and he knew he was going to be a pro prospect. He's been hiding those feelings for all of these years. Maybe him coming out in support of this is a result of what maybe would have, in given different circumstances, been a life he had gone down where he had come out and been openly gay. I'm not saying that was his case, but you never know how many people have suppressed it to the point where they'll never admit it.
And he also might be, you know, who knows, maybe he and his wife are bisexual swingers. We don't know.
Exactly.
You know? This is the thing I think is unfair here.
No.
Is it because if you speak in the defense of equality and sexual liberation, that you're somehow seen as some kinky sex fiend.
Right. And that's what's so weird. It's not fair. This is the only industry that I can think of where the lights are pulled this far, or sorry, where the sheet is pulled this far over the eyes of the consuming audience. There is no discussion of sexuality on either side in sports, unless it's a life-beating case.
Do you think it's the audience? Do you think it's the fans that are holding the guys back? Is it the owners? Is it the athletes themselves? I think it's all of the above, but I definitely think that it's a money issue and the fans.
Yeah.
You know, because the fans of women's sports are lesbians.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, that's
who
very
watches
true.
The WNBA?
Oh my gosh!
You know?
Don't get me started on the WNBA.
Nobody
except lesbians. Ugh. Okay. And so you know, maybe the fact is we need to maybe homoeroticize. One of the most popular pride events that's happening around the country is Gay Days at baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
And so they're doing like that here in Chicago. They do that in other cities.
It's
they have
brilliant.
Well, certainly there's lots of gay people that are
but
fans
not
of
really
games, and so they want to be able to go out and meet and hang out with other people that are fans.
But they're not packed. You know, it's
that's
like
so weird.
You get like 50 or 60 people that
show
up.
That's so weird to me. Why
it's about 200 or so. Okay.
But you know what I think? Yeah. Also because fan culture has sort of this violent nature attached to it. I mean, not all fans are violent, but like the first group of people to riot are sports fans. You know what I mean? So like in everyone's mind, it's like social upheaval in the midst of a crowd, probably a concert or a sporting event. It can get dangerous, not just, you know, biased or harsh and angular in terms of the words they're using, but you can be killed in that setting. So I think sometimes the cards are stacked a little bit and people's being secret about it because it's literally a dangerous scenario because people are drinking. It's like admitting you're gay to rodeo. It's like,
well, Matthew Mitchum, he's an openly gay Olympic diving guy. Mm-hmm. We've asked him many times to come on the podcast. You know, unfortunately he has not made that decision to come on the show. Mm-hmm. But his publicist wanted us to allow him to use a picture, the illustration of him on, I made him on the box of Fruity Cheerios. Fruity Cheerios is a real product, and Cheerios does have Olympic athletes on their box of cereals. I thought it'd be really cute and funny. And it seems like he liked it, but not liked it enough to come on our podcast.
Well, tell him I'll write him a love poem.
Well, the other thing is, though, too, he couldn't afford to. You asked for money for it, too, to be honest. And then it was, but he couldn't afford to pay it. And you should be paid for your work. The other thing is, though, too, is like, I think it's also, there's big money behind this. And I think that a lot of these athletes probably don't come out if they wanted to,
right,
because they think I'll lose an endorsement. And that's like a lot of money. Because look, that's Matthew Mitchum, he couldn't even afford $500 for a photo.
And I just said, I would do it for free if he came on the show.
Trade for sale. That's fair.
And no response. Nothing.
That's an interesting point. The endorsement.
So a gay, openly gay icon won't want to be interviewed about. I mean, and we've tried to get a lot of definitely openly gay athletes on the show through the years. They are very reluctant to discussing and talking about their experience because it's very threatening to them.
Right. That is.
Cheryl Swoops made me wait for 2 hours. And then finally, when it was time for me to interview her, she just said no. She just flat out like rejected me and stuff. Wow. And I had prepared all these questions and stuff.
That's when you used to take the Marantz and go meet
I went
people.
Actually to meet with her face to face. Yeah. And so I don't do that anymore. But it's like it's kind of like an interesting thing is that a lot of these openly gay athletes have a chip on their shoulder.
That's kind of why this has been so interesting to me, because I stumbled upon this by accident, this whole topic. And like the thing that I think I find most interesting about it is exactly what you just pointed to, is like there is no dynamic you can point to and isolate for why this happens. It's like this collision of the business side of sports, which is the endorsements and athletes not wanting to lose that, and then I think there are gay sports fans. There are so many that are so not gay and so adamantly not gay that like there's this invisible battle mace propped against the wall waiting to swing and crush whoever steps into the fire line, right? You know what I mean? Which is it's so frustrating, because how do you break through that? How do you stop a quagmire? Like everyone's not talking.
Well, think about Tim Tebow. You know, it's like we think he's gay.
And
I think in the future, Tim Tebow and Mark and I are going to be in a group marriage together.
Well, I will have sex with Tim Tebow.
He'll be really positive about it the whole time.
He'll be great, you know. And I think Tim Tebow, instead of writing John 2:13 on his the man who gave his only son, he should write Revelations 3:20.
I don't
which
know.
Which is?
Let any man who knock on my door, I will come into him.
Why did you think I was going to know that?
No, I said it to ask me.
Oh, I thought you were pointing to me like you know the
You
old
know what
hit.
That is,
you
right?
You know the classic.
Revelation 3:20.
Come into me.
I posted that on like one of those gay hookup sites, and everybody thought I was like some Christian fundamentalist.
Well, you know who's really gay in sports? The cameraman.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, there's sometimes you're like watching games, you're just like, that cameraman is in love with that face ass.
A professional locker room has got to be a very frustrating place for a gay cameraman.
You know, actually, one of our listeners for a long time was the nation's kind of like big name in hockey sports photography.
Wow.
And
gay hockey?
I'm blanking on his
Robert
name.
Myers.
Robert J. Myers and Pat Lee and the other guy here in Chicago. Alan Spires are two of the biggest names in bodybuilding photography in the country. And
that's a homophobe. That's going to be pretty
homophobic.
And that
homophobic. Is so gay, girl. That's like, I'm like, because there's even the debate in bodybuilding. Is it even a sport?
Right.
And then is it even what's going on here?
What's sporting about it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know.
Flexing is a sport. Sure.
I think it's body modification, you know, and this is the interesting thing about bodybuilding is that it blurs the lines between sporting and performance and theater. And then this weird, crazy thing. It's like, here's a sport where the only goal is to get your body as big as possible within a proportion size.
Right.
And then you have a whole audience of people kind of are going orgasmic over your body.
Yeah. They're literally celebrating the contour of your body.
Yeah. And it's a really weird thing because of the fact that it's not acknowledged the sexuality that's happening in us admiring men's bodies. And my workout partner at the gym, he's like lusts after male bodybuilders' physiques, not sexually, but he like is in awe of them. Yeah. And I said to Adam, you're so gay for Ronnie Coleman, you know?
Ronnie Coleman.
And you almost
sure.
wonder if, like, if Ronnie Coleman walked in and be like, you and me right
well,
now.
Well, that's the thing, though.
Like, would it happen?
Would it straight happen? Dudes do that, too. Like, me and all my friends, like, we would all lift weights and call it. Even now, yeah. like you know, nice buys, bro. Like, it's you do. You when you are into working out or you're into fitness or anything, you then, because you have an idea in mind of how you want to look or how you want to mm-hmm. be in shape, when you see someone exhibiting that, you appreciate it. But then, like, it turns the corner when people start labeling it gay or not gay, right? Mm-hmm. When it's a sport or a bodybuilding, or if it's inside of professional football, for example, mm-hmm. and there's sports taps, you know what I mean? Like, they paint it a different color.
Well, and that's why it's like when they do movies about sports, they typically pick baseball to do it over, because you can see them in their uniforms. They look like humans. Whereas, like, football,
yeah.
you can't really see their faces. You don't know what's going on.
Right.
So
okay.
you can identify it like that.
Why don't more esoteric sports pioneers in the coming out, because it's diving
Good
and
question.
Swimming where the gay athletes come out first,
because they're practically naked already.
Why not bowling? What bowling?
That's a or curling or any of
yeah.
those fringe sports where their stakes are very low and where your audience probably isn't going to come up in arms about it.
Like, you can be an openly gay curling champion
for
but
sure.
But no, yeah,
No,
I bet you
there has
to be, especially in Canada, there has to be some gay curling teams.
Definitely.
There's no way that there couldn't
brush,
be.
Brush, we have Orlando Cruz
in boxing, mm-hmm. who just came out.
The Puerto Rican guy.
Liz Carmouche. These are all people who came out in the past year. And mixed martial arts.
Did they come out publicly or just...
Publicly,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Kevin McClatchy, the former owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
We were going to talk about him.
And he didn't come out for
you. Can I say what is so... The reason mm-hmm. I circled in on that story when I was looking through stuff, mm-hmm. it's so weird to me that he was the CEO of the team and the owner at the time. No one would have fired him. The worst that could have happened, again, is like a loss of endorsement, but that was a financially very well-off team at the time. He had nothing to lose, and he waited until like he was far and away beyond that sporting organization before he came out.
Oh,
so weird to me.
Wasn't really there yet for it.
Maybe it was a personal thing on that one, but...
This is a quote from him. Coming out has been great. It's one of those things that I feared for doing for 25 years.
Of working in the Pirates organization, which is what he didn't say.
And I finally got to that moment, and I felt like I was jumping off a cliff. Jamie Kuntz, the football player, who was kicked off his football team and college football team for lying about kissing his elderly boyfriend.
His boyfriend was 67
what?
Or 65?
67-year-old boyfriend.
Was he on the football team with him?
No.
the oldest free safety.
No, it was one of those situations. So he plays college ball, and they're at a game, and his boyfriend comes to meet him at the game, and he wasn't feeling well. So the coach said, you go up to the press box and videotape the game, because I don't think there's any press up mm-hmm. there. And so he and his old boyfriend, who's 87, he's 18, was sort of making out, and some of the players saw it, and they're like, were you making out? And he lied. He's just like, no, that was my grandpa. I wasn't making out with him. And then later he fessed up and said, yeah, we were making out. And he's just
we're
like,
very close.
So yeah,
you're
what were you doing
team.
If you weren't making out with him? What were you doing with your grandpa? I was telling him secrets into his mouth.
I just, you know, the thing about me is like, I hope when I'm 65, I find some hot young football player who wants to have sex with me.
I was just licking the plaque off my grandfather's teeth.
In my family, we make out. That's how we show affection. His quotation, if I could say one thing, I would like to hear my school say they were wrong. I feel like I am standing up for all the gays that play all kinds of mm-hmm. sports.
They were wrong. They shouldn't have fired. They shouldn't have gotten him out of
yeah.
school.
Well, it was a little strange that he was with somebody who was so age difference. I mean,
but
if that
legal.
Was female athlete,
nobody would care.
Dating a 67-year-old
yeah,
man, making
right.
out with him,
no one would care.
Maybe some eyebrows would have been raised. Maybe they wouldn't have kicked her out, but.
Yeah,
okay.
You're right.
Jason Ball, Australian football player.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Bozzi Boswell in rugby. Stephen Bickford in soccer. Wade Davis. Do these names ring a bell?
Wait, Thomas Boswell of the English national team?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I would like to thank my close friends, especially my rugby team, as I honestly thought
yeah.
I would be ashamed to ever carry on playing rugby. As they as a poof.
He did not.
Rugby seems to be the gay sport, though. Is it not the gay sport?
Because you're tackling and you guys have great bodies.
You're touching butts.
It's like the play of the game itself is very physical. It's very. It's more so than football. You're all over people all the time.
I guess probably the most homoerotic sport would probably have to be wrestling. No,
I still think it's football because
why?
Here's why. So first of all, the you're wearing second skin, basically, right?
Okay, sure.
That's one thing. So then, like...
what, like a condom?
I don't know. Between plays, you, like, have time to... Like, you take a break, and you conference with all the people who have a similar goal to you. It's, like, it has, like, the sort of tend and befriend quality to it, too. And then, like, you talk for a second, and then you slap butts, make sure you're all on the same page, right? So it's like a comforting group dynamic, as well as just physical man-touching. You know what I'm saying? That's why I think football is the most... That's why football teams... have the most homoerotic humor and behavior between their own group of people.
But gay men, I don't think necessarily bring the football game kind of mentality into the bedroom as much as maybe like wrestling.
Not at
people
all.
Are never like, let's play football. Like, but like people let's always want to wrestle.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
They always want to like do some kind of wrestle.
And I have a terrible back because I sit basically my athletic endeavor is sitting behind a computer.
Yeah.
Like my body that I have is by busting my ass at the gym for 2.5 hours every day.
Yeah.
And sexually, what 90% of people want to do with me is throw me and tackle me down to the ground. And I cannot do that. Yeah. I tried doing that
delicate.
I broke my back.
Oh my God.
I'm made out of two. And they're like,
or I can do that. So just, you know, email me.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll make sure and send the email
Mark,
your way.
If someone tackled you to the ground, I'd be taking you to the hospital.
I know how to fall. I've studied falling.
You're
like Keanu Reeves.
You're about a couple years away from AARP.
Keanu Reeves falls in every movie he's in.
Oh,
and he's
really?
Good at it.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Sidebar. Anyway.
Stephen Bickford in soccer. Wade Davis in football.
No Wade Davis. No.
Meg, let's see. Samuel Augustus in basketball.
Never heard of him.
Peter Mandu, tennis. Stephanie Lee in wrestling. That's a girl. Josh Dixon in gymnastics. This is a good one here. Jason Somerville in poker. He was a poker player. Poker is considered a sport, right?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, it is. That's a debate.
I watch it sometimes when they have those tournaments on. I love Texas.
It's funny that the poker player thought he was like fighting the good fight. Like,
okay, if poker playing is a sport, then playing the Nintendo is
a sport. Agreed.
Then pretty much any game that you play on your computer is a sport.
I don't think card games are really a sport.
I don't either.
I don't think that
they're an exhibition.
Jason, thank you for coming out as gay, but you're not an athlete.
But no thanks.
Mm-hmm. You've got a beer belly.
You probably have a chin strap.
You're a fan.
You probably worked at a third party, a Verizon
retailer.
I'd like
to talk to him. Maybe he can give us some poker tips.
Can we talk about the fans for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Because these gay guys who like, especially the ones who like create social profiles, are like, I'm a sport. And they're the most out of shape, lethargic, ill, poor eating habits, alcoholic people, and they just sit there drunk, and they're like, I'm really interested.
That's a sports fan.
That's a sports fan. And I'm like, you know, you're not an athlete if you drink two pitchers of beer a day.
So they're not saying they're athletes.
They're saying they're athletes. They're sporties types.
You know,
well, they like sports.
Sporty types is fans is different than the players.
Sure. I think there's like the people, you know, the people who really bother me. And I think these are the people that have a problem with creating that bravado that makes people feel like they can't come out. The fans who, the ones who are, they feel like they have more than a vested interest in their teams. You know what I mean? Like,
they're the worst people in the world. I'll point to New
England sports fans because I'm from Oregon. So like, this is so far away from my world to really be visibly and tangibly upset when your team has lost a big game. And feel almost like you've coached that game, right? And those are the people who take sports so seriously that if something like a player that they liked were to come out and say they were gay, those are the people you're worried about. You know what I'm saying?
People who cry.
They lose their shit.
What?
Right, and those are the people that scare you. That's why I think maybe there's a little
bit of pressure. Well, my parents were like that. My parents would literally scream at the television set growing up. And I was always, I think that's part of the reason why sports kind of turned me off.
Yeah.
Is because you'd hear them just screaming at the TV.
It's like, why are you so mad?
I know, calm the fuck down.
Carl Sagan, the astronomer.
I love Carl Sagan.
He's my surrogate dad.
I love Carl Sagan.
He actually wrote an interesting essay about violent behavior in humanity and the purpose of competitive sports was to provide a proxy for war.
Totally.
If we're playing sports and we're getting agitated and we're letting all out in the sports team, we're not fighting each other in the battlefield.
Ideally, but...
That's but sometimes I feel like that it kind of emphasizes that mindset as opposed to getting letting it out.
Well, it's certainly a distraction. I mean, people say that about like the Middle East all the time. Yeah. They're just like, why don't you guys go out and play some fucking football instead of blowing each other up?
Right.
But and, like, I don't know.
The other weird thing about that is like it doesn't. So in the Middle East, for example, where you say you might just go play football to get all the energy out. On the other side of that, in the first world, I don't know, first world and third world are old terms, but like I was on so many buses, football buses, growing up, where they would show us like they would show us Gladiator or some war related movie, and then they would give us the pre-game pep talk like we were soldiers going to war, it's just, and there's like this very much like a warrior mentality to action sports and contact sports, which I think you might be right in some ways it. Maybe keeps us from being violent, but in a lot of other ways, it just mainstreams that aggressive and like a predatory the sensibility. And if you are the best at that, then you're the pinnacle predator and you can't show any weakness. In the eyes of the sports community, homosexuality is weakness.
They say that actually competitive sports or competition in men raises their testosterone levels,
totally.
Which is not
necessarily...
I'm getting
my testosterone raised right now.
Oh, right, baby.
Me too, but for other reasons.
Hello!
But the thing about it is like that raising your testosterone levels actually calms you down.
Mm-hmm. Focuses.
And brings you ability to focus and to stay on the task at hand.
That's an interesting.
That actually competition is not necessarily. And I was.
Is that why? Like I was shitty at sports growing up because I wasn't have enough testosterone or something.
I don't think. I think actually, for studies have been done that actually gay men's testosterone levels are actually higher on the average than straight men, straight identifying men. But
you want to fight about it?
Yeah, let's wrestle about it.
Well, what do you think of like guys in their uniforms and people using them as a fetish? Because I was working out gym yesterday and I saw a guy who was wearing this Cubs shirt, and it was just kind of like, although it's like off season now, I was looking at him like, thank God that's not a trigger for me, because you know, he was kind of unattractive.
Well, this is the weird thing. We went to comic book conventions and you know. We got like a handful. We were like, oh, this is fun. Let's get a Superman t-shirt. Let's get a Captain America t-shirt. Yeah. And I wear those out to bars and guys lose their fucking shit about it. And I'm like, this is a fucking logo. Yeah. It's a corporate logo
but
on my chest.
But if you're a sports fan, like that team means a lot to you. And to see another guy wear it, it's just like, it's a real turn on for them.
What about this? What about the actual uniforms themselves? So like, baseball uniforms are very chaste. Why that? Why, you know what I mean? Like, why? Like in football, you're wearing like spandex, right? In basketball, it's just tank top.
They had some new outfits, like the
Bears
last season.
Why is baseball not entered into sexy uniform season?
They did try that, actually. had like form-fitting, kind of Tron-inspired football player things to make it more aerodynamic. And that whole compression gear, that stuff
for
they were
baseball?
Trying to... For football.
Oh, no, I know for football, but I'm talking about why are the uniforms for baseball so old school and chaste, and why have they not?
Because baseball is a traditional game.
They need to sex them up. I kind of miss the basketball shorts from the 70s that were real short, and you could see the legs. Totally. Like, now it's just like, do you even have knees? I don't even see them.
Do you even work out your legs, bro? Come on.
Friends, don't let friends skip legs day.
Thank you. I'm working my legs today.
I hate legs day.
My butt hurts, actually, from legs day yesterday.
Legs is so hard on my back.
My least favorite thing to do.
So this is really interesting. You as a comedian are doing a lot of gay material as a straight identifying guy.
Right.
And for you, it's kind of like you think of this as an asset, as something awesome for your career and as a performer to address these issues straight on. And I would say for you and for James Fritz and Brian Sweeney, you guys make me excited and interested in being around comedians again because of the fact that you guys are like, fuck what people are going to think. I want to talk about these things because they're interesting to everybody.
Right. And I think that's great. I appreciate that. I think the thing I like about stand-up is that it is, in fact, such a challenge to figure out a way to talk about the things that you want to talk about versus the things that you think people want you to talk about, right? So like the whole reason this issue came up for me was because it was part of a joke I was telling. And I think the reason I wrote more jokes based on this whole concept of why people can't make, why the humor stops and it turns into something very serious and not fun at the professional level. I think it brings a lot of interesting voice to also being a comic. So in the same way that being gay in the realm of professional sports is sort of a distinction to be, or sort of a, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's like an anti-parallel. It's sort of an outlier. Mm-hmm. Being a comic on the Chicago scene who is both high energy and positive, and you know what I mean? And like,
because most are kind of glum.
Working, and not insulting the comedy scene. That's uh-huh. not my intent at all. But like sometimes that is so also very much an outlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool to then translate that into material. If I'm already kind of outside the box, I might as well be doing material that way too.
But you're a lovable person, and it's like you get a lot of pleasure from getting attention and love from people. Whereas like, that's I would true. Say like Brian Sweeney is a cantankerous person and he gets a little bit uncomfortable,
right?
Like sure. getting attention and love from people, even though that's,
unless it's a photograph that you've right. made of him that he absolutely loves.
He's like those. A crazy vanity. he's like he's worse awesome. Than some of the transgender guests that we've had.
Although, we'll explain that to people.
We've taken picture. We've had a lot of transgender guests through the years. And when I take their pictures, they get obsessed yeah. about their image,
how they look and they're like, being conveyed.
And they're like, stand over my shoulder while I'm like preparing the photos and stuff and masking yeah. them mm-hmm. out. And they're like, oh, don't use that one. I look like a man. Ew, yeah. a man face. And I'm like sitting there. I'm like, I'm a man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay.
Yeah. yeah.
You were a man once.
With Brian, though, he just, and if we don't take his picture, he becomes like, grumpy cat.
He gets depressed. He's like, it's kind of like sick and weird.
And
he's
we did that photo of him as like Castiel from Supernatural, which is his favorite TV show. And now he's just like, it's all over Facebook. Just like,
yeah, I saw it several times.
And then listen, you know, I appreciate what all you guys bring to the show and if taking an awesome photo. And by the way, people, if you haven't seen the photos of Eric Oren on our site.
As Eddie Ironwine.
This is
about Eddie Ironwine.
Straight identifying man. And he doesn't always dress like this, but we really appreciate you yeah. looking like Cher's boyfriend.
Yeah. It's more fun when you play along, right? So
or Cher herself. Eddie,
he hasn't taken the costume off. A lot of times queens costume. Will come in and they take the wig off.
Still in
the
costume.
Manila and Luzon, when she did her interview, she yanked off a wig 4 seconds after we took
She's
the
like,
picture.
I don't have to.
I was planning on taking it off, but I settled in, and here I am.
This it looks good on you.
I'm staying with it.
So tell us about Eddie Ironwine.
Okay, so real quick, I've been playing this character for about 3 or 4 months, been done a bunch of sketch videos. I just finished recording an album at the Paragon Studios.
Mm-hmm.
6 or 7 songs. We'll see how it ends up coming out, but it's just a classic rock comedy spoof album. It was just a little side project.
What songs are you spoofing? So it's like Weird Al?
Whitesnake, Warrant, Ronnie James Dio.
I am like, so there.
And it's going to be available for download on my new website, which will come out in a week and a half, actually.
You're actually awesome. Performing on November 18th.
Correct.
At the first PH stand-up
yeah.
showcase in Andersonville.
Correct. The PH Theater just opened up not long ago here in Andersonville, 1515 West Berwyn. And our 10-year anniversary.
Yo, Berwyn!
Berwyning!
For Chicagoans for people who don't live in Chicago, that's an old Svengoolie joke.
It's an old Svengoolie joke that he still uses. Every time he mentions Berwyn, it's Berwyn.
But actually, that's the street. Not the, suburb.
Berwyn Avenue, 1515 West Berwyn. And we have a musical, a sketch, 4 nights of improv, and stand-up, an open mic every Wednesday, and our first showcase, Sunday the 18th, which I will be featuring at, and our other stand-up co-host, Kenny Metroff, will be hosting that.
Where is this place? It's next to that t-shirt shop?
Yes, it's right next to Rad Vintage. Right across from Rinaldi's, and we'll be having
right by the church.
Oh, okay. You guys took over that failed CrossFit place.
Correct. Yes. It used mm-hmm. to be a gym, and we built it out. We have a stage and lights and a booth.
Sorry, CrossFit.
Cool. I'm very excited to see you guys in that space. I kind of feel as though Andersonville has been missing that kind of performance.
It is.
Place.
And we've had a great response from the community because mm-hmm. people in this neighborhood want to have something to do. It's cheap. It's BYOB, no 2-drink minimum. $5-$10 tickets. We have Santa Stories coming up, which will be both naughty and nice. We'll have an evening Ooh. One for adults and a matinee for kids. So we're really trying to
Oh, you
got to
come back and talk about
comedy
that.
For the people. Yeah,
the Santa
I'd love
Stories.
To.
Oh love my God, to. This
I want
is
some
so
sexy
great.
Santa Stories.
Yeah, and we have a gay themed musical sketch show coming up as well.
This is great.
Yeah, we've got a lot of fun stuff going on. We'd love for people to come out and see us.
You guys going
to
put Gayco out of business?
Gayco, actually, three of the members of Gayco are members of PH. Jason Geis is an artistic director, Brett Manis, and then there's one more. I can't remember who.
You're going to put Gayco out of business because you're stealing all their talent.
And the cool thing about PH is...
We have a building. Where's yours?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, you're at the shitty center on Halstead? Okay.
Oh, sorry, Gayco.
Oh, no. We're going to do stuff with Gayco in conjunction, obviously.
Sure you will. But,
sure you will.
So, that's fantastic. And you also have a play coming up. You guys are doing your first play in that space, too.
We have actually already opened. We have a sketch show called The Assemblers, which is loosely based on the Avengers superhero-themed. And then the musical, which I am in, is based on a movie called The Room, which is a really bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those movies that is so bad it's good again.
What's the plot?
It comes from a very foreign man named Tommy Wiseau. He wrote and directed it. It's almost like you gave someone who doesn't speak any English the task of writing a movie that Americans would like. The dialogue is terrible. No, it's not. Okay. The dialogue is terrible and disjointed. There's gratuitous sex scenes. The characters are stupid, and it's all based around his character, who he's just playing himself. So we took that and we wrote an original musical based off of it. It has sort of a cult following, so we've been selling out already just because people love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's right down. Right,
no, is the original movie on Netflix? Where would I see this?
You can find the original movie all over the internet. It's pirated all over the place. Right. The guy did very little to protect his work. Mm-hmm. He's emailed us a couple times claiming that he's going to take legal action, but he doesn't have any kind of copyright or anything. So, and he emails us as Johnny Admin, which is just himself.
Why can't you guys cooperate with him and say, what can we do for you?
And we have, and he's eventually given us there were a couple of things we were going to do, and we eventually just settled on, we showed him the script, whatever, and he okayed it that way. So
he's like at peace with it. Everybody's happy.
He made a stink, but it's just because he's a weirdo. It's not because he's really mad.
But you know, I see that all the time. Like we've been doing this and that and this idea on this podcast through years, and we see podcasts and TV shows like wholesale steal our material and our friends' material, and it was just like when The Simpsons totally ripped off Devin Green's pulled pork.
Okay.
And we're just like, I called Devin and I was just like, what the fuck was that all about? Did you guys get any money? And Devin was just like sighing.
Nope.
Yeah. No. Things like that happen. Mm-hmm. What can you do?
What can you do about it? But I'm literally looking forward to it. I just think it's fantastic. I want to talk about the Manila, the Philippines lovable hermaphroditic pig.
Yes.
That everybody's falling in love with.
I can't
with,
wait to talk about
and
this.
And is good luck charm now.
Well, the owner discovered the pig a couple years ago and believes it's actually a good luck symbol for the people. He's been raising pigs for about 6 years, and he was quoted in the newspaper. He said, I can't even do it. It's so crazy. They literally quoted this guy, but they didn't translate it from Tagalog or Filipino or whatever he speaks.
I think it's Tagalog.
Fortunately,
I am fluent in Tagalog.
So am I. If you want to have a conversation in Tagalog, I'm...
Waray bahit papolas. You're just saying gibberish. I actually know a song. Yeah. I shocked the shit out of Manila Luzon when she was on the show.
Shit shocker.
I went, waray, hindi tatokas, waray, bahalapulas, asinuman, nahimahamun, atikitay, anatong. And the interesting thing about the Philippine Islands, that's the song Waray Waray, is the male warriors who dressed up as women to defeat the invaders.
So they were out of the closet.
Transgenderism and hermaphroditic, icons and imagery are very much a close part of Filipino culture. Mm-hmm. And so the hermaphroditic pig that everybody's fallen in love with is not such a strange thing over there.
And in the Philippines too, it's like, man, if you're a drag queen, you can pass.
Yeah.
You're so beautiful, lady boy. That's Thailand. Thailand is a lady boy.
I think they probably say lady boy there in Philippines too, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple of Filipino trans women, and it's just like, you wouldn't
would you date a lady? I mean, you look so cute right now. It's like you should have an Asian transgender
lady boy
girlfriend. Yeah,
it fits the image. I'll tell you, in this costume, that fits the image for sure.
That's actually who you should have as a girlfriend.
As a transgender
lady boy.
Yeah,
and just act like she's a, you know, just be like she's a girl.
Try and convince everyone like a girl. All the time that it's
no.
Just say that's like no. She's a girl. She's a girl.
Look at her. She acts like a girl. Doesn't she act like a girl?
Yeah.
She has the hair. Have you not seen the hair length?
We're saving this performance is saving up money for her genital corrective surgery. That's happening next month.
We'll put a hat on the sidewalk, do a vaudeville act.
Sure. I mean, listen, you know, some transgender people do whatever it takes, because in this society, this country, you have to earn your sex change.
Yeah. Well, gosh, yeah.
But in other countries, they pay for it. It's like part of their universal health care.
In Iran, they'll pay for it.
Yeah.
Iran. Enemy number one.
In Asian countries, a lot of Asian countries, actually, if you can, you know, jump all through the hurdles and stuff. That some places.
I think in Thailand it's very inexpensive to get it.
Is there a test that they issue you to
see if you see a psychologist for years and it's like part of your, you know.
Not in Thailand. Existence. You can just go walk in and be like, here's some money.
Do you like this cup of yogurt or do you like this cucumber?
We know somebody who presents as a male, and he actually, in America, nobody would do the operation. So he went to Thailand and he got a vagina and he identifies as a male. It would be like if you just wanted a pussy and you didn't change anything else.
Don't
about
get
yourself.
Any ideas, Eric.
I just called my mom and told her I'm getting one. So thank you for
opening. I know you
up
wanted me
eyes.
To have a wife, mom, but I'm just going to get my own.
It's
vagina.
So cheap and easy. It's like a vending machine.
Even a caveman could do it.
You put in like a couple of quarters in and stick your dick in the hole.
Well, they actually, it's like they churn them out over there. Like people fly from all over
it's
the world.
It's just a hole with like duct tape lining it.
And it's like. Oh, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So, Lady Gaga. Are we done with this?
No, we can't be. What about Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga. We're going to call it here,
We're going to say it. It might not be true, but.
This is probably true. We call the election. We predict so much shit.
Yeah.
We are Lady Gaga's friends from the future. Travel back in time. Blow your minds out, people.
Nostradamus.
Taylor Kinney and Lady Gaga are going to tie the knot after shortly announcing that they're having a baby. That's why she's gotten all big all of a sudden.
Oof. And been throwing up at concerts.
That's right.
Has she?
Yeah, she threw up at a concert not too long, a couple weeks
ago. It's not because she was trying to imitate Justin Bieber. It's because she's having, you know, nausea that comes with pregnancy.
But why the delay? Like. Why is she not just coming forward and saying, I'm pregnant?
Because it's somebody else's baby.
So it's not Taylor Kinney's baby?
She has to think of a song to break the news. I am big with child.
Big, fat, and pregnant.
Brian Sweeney calls her Lady Jabba.
I know. I love that.
I think that's a bit harsh. But considering that actually the Jabba the Hutt in Star Wars was a hermaphroditic species.
Yes. Yes.
From a planet. Jabba the Hutt, when he's having sex with Carrie Fisher, it's lesbian or bisexual or whatever.
We don't know.
He's filling both
parts.
Because
he's some kind of worm. I think worms just kind of like go up next to each other and they exchange like fluid. Like they don't really like penetrate each other.
I wish there had been a camera to capture the.
I was doing the
slight
worm.
Gyrations.
More subtle.
Worms just kind of undulate next to each other.
I used to be able to do the worm.
Have you watched Star Wars Clone Wars?
Yeah.
When they have the other Hutts.
Yeah.
As characters, and they sound like Truman Capote. Yeah.
He does. That voice is totally Truman Capote's voice.
And they're like, they make no, because, you
that's
know.
That's a sexy worm right there.
I'm looking forward to the new Star Wars movies where they're going to expand on the Hutt characters.
Well, do you think the Hutts will be able to become erect in the new version of Star Wars?
I don't know.
Just giant hard worms. Mm-hmm. They have to log roll around.
I think they lick each other. Green slime. But I like it. He has prison
exchange
tattoos.
Fluids.
They put prison tattoos on Jabba the Hutt.
They did?
Yes, in the Star Wars Clone Wars.
Oh,
no. It speaks like Truman Capote.
Oh, he had tattoos.
He has prison tattoos.
That was an angsty Hutt.
Did they kill him?
No, like, he escapes.
Okay.
And he talks like this. You gotta save me.
Yeah, I felt like when he got home, like something bad.
Because the other Jabba the Hutt in the movie is like, and you think that they all talk like that, but he was just a low voiced.
That guy was just a prepubescent Hutt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a woman comes home to her house after this Hurricane Sandy, and she finds a note written in her house. It's from somebody. She didn't know what happened. She goes, it read like this. Tell my dad I love him and I tried getting out. His number is blah, blah, blah. His name is Tony. I hope you can read this. I'm in the dark. I took a black jacket too. Goodbye. God Almighty help me. And this, so this, they actually found the guy. His name was Mike and he did survive. And he said he had to swim through like 10 feet of water to get to her house. And he came inside. He's just like, I knew that like when I came in, there was blankets everywhere. So I was just like, wrapped myself up. I dried myself off. But then I don't know why he didn't stay there. He decided to leave again.
Yeah.
And then somebody, I would have just been like,
I found safe haven. Better move along.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. Well, maybe he thought something worse was coming. Who knows? And eventually somebody did rescue him in a boat. Somebody was just patrolling the neighborhood in a boat.
But they did. So he'd already written the letter. When he was rescued, was he tweeting?
No. I don't think so. Were people doing that? I've been rescued.
He was blogging.
I suppose they would.
You know what I hate about Sandy is the fact that there was no celebrity casualties. Like, with Hurricane Sandy, you know, it hit New York and New Jersey. Not a single Jersey Shore or Snooki. Because, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana, Fats Domino was like...
Everyone just died.
Yeah, yeah. He was pulled out from a helicopter or something, right? You didn't have, like, Snooki was being evacuated.
they weren't high on the priority list at all.
I think she lives, like, in L.A. now or something. Who knows?
But, you know,
they were using her as the extrication boat.
Yeah, I wanted some, you know, those New Jersey housewives being, like, rescued or something.
Four cast members of the New Jersey Housewives.
So you guys are familiar with Cory Booker. He's the Newark mayor, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So somebody tweeted...
No, I'm not,
he retweeted something at... Like, this is hysterical that a mayor would retweet something from somebody that's like, dat... N-I-G-G-A, colon or whatever, slash, R-E-E-E-E, or underscore. And I'm just like, it's funny that a mayor would do that. So he retweeted this thing, I'm running out of hot pockets to put in the oven. And he tweeted back to him, I believe in you. I know this is a problem. You can handle it.
Oh my
and
God.
So he tweeted him. He's like, don't worry, we'll get you some food. And so Hot Pockets came forward and gave the mayor like hundreds of coupons for free Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets saw that and they're like, oh, this is an opportunity.
This is an opportunity.
Why
didn't
they just bring the boxes of the Hot Pockets? Why do they have to do the coupons?
Because they already have the distribution already set up. So why not just go to the supermarket and get it?
Oh my gosh, that's really funny.
Uh-huh. I'm moving to Newark.
Yeah, I hope they have
Do you like Hot Pockets?
I like Lean Pockets.
I don't actually like any of them.
I don't really eat them.
I don't like to do. I like to not keep frozen food around because I'll eat the shit out of it if I have it.
Especially when you're stoned.
Yep.
Baby.
You know, and it's right there.
I don't know about it. I tried enjoying a Hot Pocket, but I'm just
Well, Taco Bell is offering something too, and it's called. They're calling them like their loaded menu. Taco Bell loaded.
That sounds like an anal sex thing.
Yeah.
Fully loaded.
This is like...
Well, they're loaded double grillers. The savory snacks will essentially be nachos, chicken, or a loaded baked potato all wrapped up in a tortilla. Now, who the fuck wants a potato wrapped up in a tortilla?
Like, can you give me like a lot of starch? And then can you give me some starch to wrap it in? And then put some starch on it?
I don't even think that would sell in Ireland.
I like carbon up every now and then. I don't think it's something wrong. It sounds delicious
potatoes.
To me.
You know who likes loaded? African Americans like loaded potatoes. They do.
They do. Black people love.
There should be a loaded potato Hot Pocket.
Yeah. Have you ever gone eating at the Hot Potato at the mall?
No.
It's all black people in the waiting line.
Of course.
It's like going shopping at Marshall's.
That's where I got these pants.
It's like...
I just think also, too, it's like, I don't think I'd want it, anything, like, ever since I've, you know, that porn genre coming out with people taking loads, or like Dawson's 50 load weekend.
That just came out one weekend.
Take my load, this load,
this
that load.
This is a horrifying porn video.
This one weekend.
And it was a guy, very handsome, seemed healthy young man, literally getting man after man, and we watched it at a bar.
No,
it was over a weekend. He was like at the Black and Blue Ball in New York or something like that.
And they
so he got a hotel room,
us.
And they would invite guys up to like to fuck him. And I think he was like a lot of times blindfolded or whatever because that was his sexual fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
He was this young man. He's just like, I want to take. And so it was like Dawson's 50 load weekend. I don't know if he really got like 50 loads in that weekend.
It was like it was like a public washing machine. You know, wow. I want to say 50. He had like 40 loads or so,
but
maybe like a dryer cycle.
Once you put 30 or 40 loads into you, at that point, stop counting.
But right? At that point in time, too,
at that point, just go with the flow. Right?
Like, you're like, in for penny, in for pound.
And he was already, they didn't disclose it at the time, but he was already HIV positive. So it was like, and so were probably most of the guys that fucked him. Yeah, so it's like, you know, they're not going to.
But still.
Doesn't matter.
But still.
That's listen, the kind of thing that could have been brought to my
attention.
That's
what you
yesterday.
Call exuberance. And I appreciate that in a person. I appreciate exuberance
in a
person.
Don't get any ideas, Mark. Wow. I only got one load here.
Yeah. The one load pony.
If you want to do some loads, there's a pile of laundry there the next door.
Hello. Oh, domestic jokes. That was the cleanest joke we've made all day.
That is true. Paris Hardy wants to weigh in on the whole athletics and the gays. I think it's definitely a combination of all those factors. The money, the fans, the teammates, the owners, and themselves. If a person finds themselves constantly surrounded by homophobic attitudes, speech, and circumstances, it can make them feel very apprehensive about coming out, especially if those types of attitudes pervade their line of work and their community. I think it takes a great deal of courage to be a public figure, like an athlete or a podcaster, to be out in the open, even today.
Aww.
That was a nice thing to say.
I added that part.
Oh.
But, you know.
But it was inferred.
I know he meant it. Eric Oren, you're fantastic.
Thank you.
I adore
you. Guys
you.
Are also fantastic.
You're so crush worthy.
Thank you.
Come out of the closet. Come on.
Guys.
Eric, what's your website?
My website, the splash page is up now. It's www.ericoren.com. But the real version will come out in a week or two with my new Metaphysical Man album download available.
Metaphysical Man.
Is the name of the album, the Eddie Ironwine album.
Awesome.
Metaphysical Man. And we'll have interviews with the band that I worked with called Knock Hopper. And footage from recording in the studio, the Paragon Studios.
Where is Paragon Studio?
It's 820 West Fulton Market Street.
Oh, awesome. Downtown. Yeah.
Where do you spend most of your time online? Is it your Facebook, your Twitter?
Right now, I'm spending the majority of my time on my Facebook fan page.
And what's that?
Just Eric Oren. I think it's Facebook, whatever,
Eric Oren Comedy. Gay.
Yeah.
Eric Oren.
Yeah, that's. I was trying to be very blatant about
it. What is it? Eric Oren?
I think it's the Facebook URL / Eric Oren Comedy.
Oren Comedy.
Should be.
That's the problem. Like Tom Goss, our friend musician,
that's the one.
He has to call Tom Goss Music because there's a bunch of other Tom Gosses.
Yeah.
How many other Eric Orens?
I don't think there are that many. There's an Eric Orange. But
I always think of your name when I hear it. I always think of Agent Orange.
Yeah.
What is up with you? Really into this whole Cher wig thing
this
going
is, this
here?
This is a character I've been doing for a while. It's a
I
sort
think
of a
you're
side
just
project.
A closet transgender person.
That you know what? I think at the end of the day, I just really like dressing up.
Do you wear that wig naked and you just kind of like tuck your dick between your legs and say, "I'd fuck me."
Would you fuck me?
Were there any like 80s rockers from the big hair era?
Oh,
did
yeah.
any of them actually come out as trans?
Tons of them.
How many came out as trans?
I don't know. I mean,
somebody
as trans
Duran
or
Duran.
As gay?
As gay. Somebody in Duran Duran.
Gay.
Eric Rhodes from Duran Duran came out as
Everyone
gay.
Everyone was gay in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, and but the, some of those bands, Relax.
David Coverdale was bisexual.
Oh, please, of course.
Right, well, of course, right. Hair metal frontman.
I mean, how many times are people going to talk about him and David Bowie? Like, when they were filming, what is that song? Dancing.
Oh, yeah. The really
dancing,
real
song. Dancing in the street.
In the streets.
Yeah.
And they were, like, practically making out in that video. And when I was a kid and I saw that, I was like, this is gay.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, no, they're just...
They're just musicians.
They're just rock stars. That's how they act.
Yeah. That's what athletes wouldn't ever be able to make a commercial, you know, where they're getting all up on each other. Isn't that so weird to you? But for a long time now, musicians
I think
have been
things
able
are
to.
Changing. Mm-hmm. And I like, you know, suddenly, like, I mean, in my gym, it's kind of a weird thing. It's like, it's a very gay friendly gym.
Yeah.
And so you have like older gay guys working out with a lot of progressive minded young guys.
Yeah.
And Mark and I are kind of in the center of all that. And it's funny because I blow prison kisses at all my like straight male friends. And they're all like, are you guys dating each other? And I'm like, just because I blow prison kisses doesn't mean that we're having sex with each other.
So true.
No homo.
That's the thing. It should all be part of the humorous conversation. It should all be a part of a humorous conversation. It shouldn't be as serious as it's been made to be when we're talking about in sports world. It's like this real scary, serious, dangerous, like violent thing to talk about. Whereas we're talking about in the gym, you know, blowing prison kisses. This is what it should. That's kind of why I want to tell jokes about it. It should be a little less buttoned down. You should be able to have a little bit, have a little bit less.
You know what it is, though? It's, I think people are just they're so afraid of that slippery slope. They're like, if I you know,
well, if I let one these blow guys job, fuck, everyone's gonna fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If I take one cock up my ass, I have to take all the.
If I take one load over a weekend, it might be 50.
We've
loads.
Agreed that once you've taken 30 or 40, mm-hmm. you just stop counting. So.
In for penny, in for pound. The slippery slope. Fur come the wigs. Then comes the pantyhose.
Eric, as soon as we're done taping this podcast, I want you to go and vote for us at podcastawards.com. You can vote once a day, every day, up until November 15th.
That means I'll be voting once a day, every day, up until November 15th.
Do you know where at?
Where do I vote?
Podcastawards.com.
Podcastawards.com.
What?
So I can vote every day from now until November 15th at podcastawards.com for Feast of Fun? Yes.
I want us to win.
I want us to win.
I want you to win.
My precious.
I want us to win.
The Lord.
Will you guys come to our gala event at PH if I get you some
yes.
tickets?
Yes. When is it?
So it maybe. Starts the 14th and it goes through the 18th and we have a night of comedy, a night of music, a night of guest speakers and alumni, some great comedians from the city, and then the last night's the stand-up showcase. So we'd love to have you guys
awesome.
Come.
I definitely want to come.
I'll totally come.
We'll
all over it.
Yayo! They would love that.
I mean, and not in a sexual way.
But
no
in
homo.
A sexual way, too.
On your face.
I mean,
no homo.
Maybe I'll tell a couple jokes at your open mic.
There you go. Would love that.
Awesome. Oh, Mark's going to get into stand-up. Oh, you think you're so funny, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I got
I'll do all my jokes you like to rip off.
Perfect. I'll do all the jokes. All your jokes that I'll steal.
Great. Eric Oren, you are fantastic. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks
you
for playing
must
along
come
with my
back.
Silliness. I would love to come back.
Revelations 3:20, people. Bye,
look
everybody.
It up. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.